What's up, everybody? It's another episode of Mindless Chatter. In fact, this is a special episode because Stewie Sticks isn't here. Instead, I'm joined by...
I'm Zach, fresh on the Mindless Chatter crew.
Yay. Zach is our sound engineer.
I am. I'm new here, new around the office.
If we can call it an office, but we're calling it an office.
Because it feels like an office when you're
at least now with the new desk, it looks more like an office.
We do seem professional.
Right.
And I feel professional working with you.
Yeah,
you know,
thank you.
It's an honor to be on this show, you know.
Sick.
I haven't heard too many episodes, recent tune in, and, you know, just caught that fire and am so lucky to be here with my... dude, fucking McGwee. I mean,
hell yeah.
Every day.
Hell yeah. Yeah, so I don't know what episode this is. I lost count.
37.
I don't know. I don't want to put a number
on it. I'm just going to call it 37 because that's what I'm going to say.
This is episode 37. Fuck it. Why not?
Right? As the engineer, I do get to call that this is episode 37.
You have that right.
Even if this isn't episode 37, that's the title of this episode now. So, me later, title this up.
Talking to Zach from the future.
Oh, man. That guy takes care of a lot more problems than I'm willing to.
You have honestly solved a lot of our problems, and a lot of them were really stupid problems that me and Stewie are not very tech savvy, and we've been trying for fucking ever to get this goddamn mixer working. It took like three friends to come over to get it working.
Three and a half at least.
Finally, we got it working. We got our cables managed. We got the new desk. We got the computer set up in a better place.
I mean, if they could have seen the setup that we had before.
Oh, well, I'm gonna post a picture of it on
Patreon,
Twitter.
Which you can subscribe
to. Well, I was just going
to
do it on Twitter. We don't have a Patreon yet.
I was trying to preemptively drop links to shit we don't have, I guess.
I mean, yeah, we don't have a Patreon yet.
I'll be your ad filler.
I'll tell you what we do have is a Twitter account and Instagram account at the Mindless Chatter on Instagram and on Twitter at Chatterboys. That's spelled B-O-I-S because we them boys. We also have got a bunch of new merch in the merch store.
I was gonna say, what about these mugs that we're drinking out of?
Yeah, creativecobwebapparel.com. You can go there and get the official Mindless Chatter mug so you can show it off to your friends. We've also got several hoodies and shirts and stuff.
We have hoodies.
So, yeah.
Holy shit.
And the new hoodie that we have on there is art done 100% by me from way back in the day.
That is obviously awesome.
Stewie rendered it and he put his own little like
little flair.
Yeah, his flair on it. But it's 100% art by me. So go to the creativecobwebapparel.com, check that out. Anyway.
So what are we talking about today?
What are we talking about today?
I mean, we can go on so many subjects. Whatever. Let's just pick one out of the blue.
I figure the first one we should talk about is the Elden Ring trailer.
8 years we've been waiting for that.
Absolutely, dude.
I mean,
it's
at
finally
least me,
out.
I saw that trailer 8 years ago. They said Elden Ring was dropping, and here we are 8 years later. You know, 2021.
I keep forgetting that. Wow. Like this last
that
year
happened.
Just passed by like so fast.
It did.
It's insane.
It's and you know what? They get a little pass on that because 2020, we'll give them a break.
Yeah, 2020 was a shitty ass year.
We were promised games that were gonna happen in 2020, but they didn't know.
Yeah.
But for Elden Ring, we didn't know at all. There was no set date. It's just been up in the air.
But just recently, From Software released a trailer that actually put a date to the game. That's January 21st, 2022.
22, yep. It's right around the corner. Especially with how time's flying right now.
Yeah.
That's tomorrow.
Yeah. It might as well be.
Right.
But new Elden Ring trailer. I remember when I first saw it. I'm in like several. Everybody knows on the pod. Every dedicated listener knows that I'm a diehard fan of Dark Souls and just anything From Software puts out, Sekiro, Bloodborne. And as soon as I'm in several groups on Facebook, and it's literally like 2 minutes after somebody posted the trailer for Elden Ring, the new one, I ran downstairs and was like, Zach, fucking check this out.
You watched the video, and then I literally heard your pitter-patter of your feet come running down the stairs. I'm taking it.
I jumped out of my bed, and he's staying underneath where my bed is. So, like, I jumped out. I'm sure you heard that thud.
Dude, it was like watching a Hanna-Barbera. I heard him come running down the stairs, and I'm taking a quick nap, because as I do.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he's like, wake up, wake up, wake up. Elden Ring dropped a trailer. And I'm like, what? And so, this is recently after our minds were blown.
By Battlefield
2043? That sounds right to
2042?
Me.
2042? I don't know.
Something like that.
The new Battlefield trailer. But anyway, so anybody who doesn't, well, all of you don't know, Zach is a huge fan of
Dark Souls 1. And Bloodborne.
Also Bloodborne.
And I've watched Sekiro. Never had the chance to play it.
But you want to.
I do. You know, I'd give at least two of my left nuts to play that one. William said to me, I got three left nuts.
Okay, well, you heard it here first, folks. He's got three left nuts. Anyway, moving on. Yeah, but, dude.
Always wanted to play Sekiro. And I know there's a lot of complaint about Sekiro where it's easy. It looks easy. Even from the videos that I've watched, you know, blocking, you just toggle the block button and then you'll hit it. And then they show a marker when you need to dash at them and do the dash dodge motion.
Well, I mean, I would say I had a very different experience with Sekiro. I found it very difficult. Like, I never had the chance
to play it.
I couldn't get past the second mini boss. Like,
Can I shout out my favorite YouTuber on here?
Yeah, go for it.
I was watching Squillakilla.
Squillakilla.
He was playing Sekiro.
And hey, on an episode of the podcast, please. Let us.
I would love that, dude. If I could talk to Squillakilla, oh my god! Like, he is why I'm obsessed with Dark Souls.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I'll have to show you later some of his speed runs and his zero hit runs. Like, he's inspired me to play the game beyond what the game gives you, where you have the options.
Like, impose your own challenges.
Yeah, yeah. You can do, and the same thing with, like, Legend of Zelda runs, where you do a 3-heart run.
Right.
And he even inspired me to do that, which, you know, took it from Dark Souls to my favorite game. Mm-hmm. Just watching him is such an inspiration. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about, I watched him play Sekiro. Mm-hmm. And as a, you can't see these air quotes, but air quotes, professional player, in my opinion.
And yeah, by the way, Zach has a YouTube channel. Do you want to shout that out?
Nah.
Okay, never mind. He doesn't have a YouTube channel anymore, but he will soon.
I did once, but
we are gonna get him back on the YouTube game, because eventually that's where Mindless Chatter is gonna progress to, is to YouTube and off of Spotify.
You'll see me play games on there and be really bad at them. So if you ever want to feel good about yourself on games, come follow me in insert link here. That was for me later.
It
just seemed easy with, like, there's blocking indicators, and there's dodge indicators, and there's indicators for everything. And personally, I think I'm a good Dark Souls 1 player. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say I'm a great Dark Souls 1 player. I think I'm pretty good.
Nobody ever achieves that status, and anybody that claims that just gets shit on online.
Or is Squillakilla.
Or is Squillakilla.
But, you know, I think I'm pretty good at Dark Souls. Mm. And I like that you need to watch the character animation. And I think with Sekiro, you didn't need to watch.
It focuses much more on that.
Well, there was less watching the characters and more of, there's a symbol here that means you need to dodge suit. And you need to time that with this symbol. But before, it felt like you needed to look at the character and understand that character and die 10 times to this character.
The main difference between Dark Souls and Sekiro is that, yes, in Sekiro there's a symbol that's like, oh, this character's about to do a death strike on you. So then you have to do a dodge. But every other move that the character does, that the enemy does, it's more based around parrying. And that's the thing that I could never master. Even like I've played Dark Souls, played Dark Souls 2, played Dark Souls 3, played Bloodborne. I could never figure out the parrying
system. Bloodborne we can't even include on the parry system. That was a whole revolutionary thing.
Well, no, the whole
it was a whole different system.
The combat was all based around the parrying.
So my thing with
same with Sekiro.
My thing
more
with Sekiro,
so with Sekiro.
With Sekiro, you can just, if you got a fast enough finger, you can just consistently be slapping. You do the parry slap. Whereas in Dark Souls 1, if you chose to parry, that took your full range of motion and left you open.
Yeah.
But in Sekiro, it felt like you could recover from that so much faster than any of the other games. And that's not a flaw, necessarily, because what I feel like...
Well, because all of the combat, like, they kind of had to dumb it down like
they
that
did.
Because all the combat is based around parrying. Like,
yes.
There are a lot of bosses that you cannot defeat unless you parry.
And you even need to get that skill where you can step on their weapons,
yeah.
Which is after you've leveled up.
Yeah. So it's all about parrying.
Planning.
Sekiro is all about parrying.
And so with that, I think they have brought that aspect of where there's going to be this style of pairing into Elden Ring. From what I've
seen...
I
feel like it's going to be a mixture of the two.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a jump now.
We have a jump.
With more than run and jump and cheat this level in Dark Souls, you know, we have a jump button, it seems.
Seems like it. There's still a lot of
speculation completely.
Yeah, there's still a lot that we have to speculate on, but that seems to be what it's going on. And personally, I'm excited.
I cannot wait.
And plus, like, there seems to be like open world aspects of it.
And then there was I believe we watched, who did we watch that talked about the time change and the weather
change.
Yes,
real time, day and night cycles
and weather cycles. It seemed like
shout out to Vati Vidya. It's funny because when the trailer first came out and I ran downstairs like a kid on Christmas to show Zach this, I was like, dude, look up Vati Vidya. Does he have a video out yet? And you were like, no,
not yet.
And I'm like,
it took 6 hours, I think, at most, maybe 9.
And I was like, dude, he's.
I came
going
home
to
from
release.
Work, and there was a video for me.
He's going to release a video analyzing the trailer because that guy. Hats off to you, Vati. I'd love to have you on an episode of the podcast as well.
We got
to
be famous at
just
that point.
Just to talk lore. I mean, I don't know, man. Sometimes all it takes is just. That's what we were talking about earlier when Tanvir was over. Was that like. Dude, sometimes all it takes is just sending a message to somebody. That's how I got AZ Volt on the podcast.
If we could get both Vatya and my dude in the same podcast...
We wouldn't even need Stewie.
I would just be busting a nut over here.
Yeah.
All you would hear is just soft moans in the background of my microphone. We'd have them on Zoom or something. I'd just be like... I mean, to me, these people to me are idols. Like,
yeah,
they are talking about something.
Vati is a fucking pillar of knowledge. If none of you listening have ever heard of Dark Souls, or you've played Dark Souls and you're wondering what the game is about, Vati Vidya is your guy because he fucking breaks down every aspect of the lore. Literally, his entire YouTube channel is based around Dark Souls lore. Dark Souls and Bloodborne. And Sekiro.
And Sekiro.
And Sekiro.
Yeah, FromSoft.
Yeah.
Except for the second game.
Anything FromSoft, he's got lore on.
He also has the second Dark Souls. We don't talk about that.
We don't talk about that in this house.
We don't talk about her.
But yeah, man, that was an awesome trailer, and I definitely shat bricks while my dick was
fully erect. Fully erect.
Raw, I exist, motherfuckers.
If you have seen the power pull from Dragon Ball, that is not even equivalent to what our dicks did when we saw this trailer. I mean, it was like power pull so awesome. Way extend.
And yet it's funny because it's the first trailer that we've got in like 3 years, I think.
Four even. We thought the game was dead. I mean,
yeah, no, everybody, like all the groups that I've been in have been like joking about Elden Ring being like in the fucking Indiana Jones museum.
Yep.
Kind of shit. Like it's never gonna happen.
Switches it off the
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like
they didn't see the hand motions where he takes the thing off the.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the end of Indiana Jones where he's like wheeling something in this massive museum. We thought it was going to be archived into the Museum of Forgotten Games that could never have come true because, to be fair,
George R.R. Martin
is helping Hidetaka Miyazaki. Fucking create the game. So as soon as we heard George R. R. Martin, we're like, okay, it's gonna be 8 years before we see.
It had to be six at least. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
But then the sixth year came around and there was no news. Yeah. And we're like, all right, George R. R. Martin is just here for the Rule 34 titties.
Yeah.
Get out of here, George.
But give us some story. We finally got a gameplay trailer, and even then, there's still so much that is speculative right now. And I just want to say real quick, I apologize if all the viewers or listeners can hear the party that's going on next door.
But it can't see.
But it's hot as fuck, and we need to keep the sliding glass door open so we can survive as human beings. Anyway, a lot of speculation still.
I think after that, we should let them all know outside that while they're partying, they could be having their beverages in these mindless chatter mugs.
These mindless chatter mugs that are available at creativecobwebapparel.com.
And honestly, I gotta go fill mine up real quick.
Hey, go for it.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll keep them busy.
Keep them busy.
But there's still a lot of. Yeah, you wanna just bring the bottle over?
I'll just fill both our cups.
Okay. Yeah, so there's still a lot of speculation going on about. I think the most that we know right now is that the traditional battle mechanics of Dark Souls and Dark Souls 3 are still prevalent in the game.
Different.
Yeah, like they're not. It's obviously not going to be a carbon copy, but we know for a fact that we still have block, so you can still put up your shield. You still have the dodge roll, but what they added was horseback combat.
So how do you think that's going to work?
I'm not really sure, man. I don't even know if the mic's picking you up from over there.
In the trailer for the horse-mounted combat,
mm-hmm.
we saw him choose to put his sword, and this is something that your video guy said.
Mm-hmm.
We saw him choose to put his sword on a certain side. So are we going to see combat like, what was that, Valor is Honor?
For honor,
where you had to choose your direction,
right? Like a stance, like dedicated Dark Souls fans will know that Neo was the one that introduced like stances and shit. And I feel like Sekiro kind of borrowed a little bit from that. But are you gonna have to like move your sword to different sides,
exactly.
or is it just gonna be like an auto? Like if you just target onto an enemy, are you automatically gonna like have your sword on that side?
Are there pre-rendered attack movements where you know you have to maybe swing twice because you swing once on the left and the second one is on the right?
Right.
You know, we haven't quite seen that.
Yeah. Point being, there's still a lot of shit to speculate on, but I figure we can speculate on some of it.
Isn't there a gameplay trailer coming out on Sunday?
For Elden Ring?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
A gameplay trailer is supposedly coming out on Sunday.
Well, the trailer that I showed you was already a gameplay trailer, mm-hmm. so maybe it was a theatrical gameplay trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this next one is going to showcase more
it's
about...
It's full gameplay trailer.
Yeah, okay.
It's...
So a lot of the questions will be put to bed, but at the same time, I still gotta wonder, like, how is the horse gonna fit in? Because you can summon and despawn the horse. It's like a spirit horse.
It's an elk or something.
That's right.
It's got the horn. It is a goat.
Yeah.
It is the greatest of all time summons. And also, speaking of the horse summon, it seems like you have the option to summon other creatures.
That would be pretty cool.
Besides the horse. It seems
like unlockable through like...
Like that is a spell system or something.
I really hope that they don't lock it behind paywalls. That it's all shit you can unlock during the game.
It's FromSoft.
It's FromSoft, but at the same time...
It'll be a level system where you grind.
Do that. Yeah.
And also my question... So this is completely off topic. Mm-hmm. It's still on topic of Elden Ring.
Mindless chatter, dude. You can talk about whatever.
We saw the traveling bonfires, right?
Yeah.
We all know how bonfires work. You sit at them, and the enemies respawn.
Yeah.
So say you are battling the caravan. How does that work? Within the world, within the timing, how do you think they're going to do that?
What I think is...
You think it'll reset?
No. What I think is going to be the thing is... You have the ability to make a campsite, and that's like a quick save.
Do you think that'll waste time in-game?
Going to be major bonfires that you camp at that...
I don't know.
That reset... like
I mean, maybe
like
in when towns... You,
like, say you go to a dungeon or something.
But I think there'll be one outside the dungeon, yes. But that's not my question is. My question is... We saw how there were traveling caravans. And mm-hmm. we saw that they were... maybe multiple or maybe the same, traveling in different conditions. We saw the sneak aspect.
Maybe there's...
So my question is, do you think that bonfires will work the exact same way they have been, where you reset literally time, is what it felt like.
And all the
do you, or do enemies. You think that resting on a bonfire now might take a process where if you rest at night... all of a sudden it's day. Or that you can choose a resting period where you make it nighttime for the better sneak aspect.
What I think, this is just going to be my speculation, but
all
I think
of this
the way
is that.
Yeah, I think the way the traveling bonfires, the way that's going to work is that's going to be like a temporary save. So let's say you face off against a caravan, you kill them all, you set up camp, you crash for the night. Probably real time's going to reset,
so you think
you're going to wake up in the day,
you think
but those same enemies aren't going to be there anymore.
No,
it's going to be more of like a temporary
save. That'll be as if...
So if you continue down the road and you meet some enemies and they kill you, you're going to go back to the last place you set up camp.
So
however, when you go into dungeons, there's probably going to be specific save points that you can get to that will respawn enemies.
You can't light the bonfire within these dungeons.
You can't light the traveling bonfire.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
There's going to be a specific spot.
So it'd be like traveling through Dark Souls 1.
Right.
But you think that outside of these internal dungeons... So we'll take it to a game that we all know, Zelda, where mm-hmm. you have the free world and mm-hmm. then you enter a dungeon. You think when you enter that dungeon, it's like the warp point where you warp to the beginning of
the
dungeon.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like it'd be something like that, but different warp points throughout the dungeon, because I know they're going to have long dungeons. It's fucking Dark Souls. They like
and they took 8 years.
The fucking definition of a long
if
dungeon.
They made the catacombs.
Yeah.
Anybody who has played Dark Souls hears me say the catacombs is like, fucking catacombs.
Yeah. What was that other area?
The one with the snakes, Sen's Fortress?
No.
If you played Dark Souls 1, Sen's Fortress kicked your fucking ass. Don't lie me.
The one in the underground village.
Oh, the swamp? You went
there
backwards.
You can get to straight from
Firelink. You gotta take the Master Key and go the back way and then run across that. And,
yeah.
Quaylogs. It's right before Quaylog.
Okay. Yeah, I know that place caused... Well, that place crashed a lot of people's systems.
If it's your first,
so many assets.
If it's your first run of Dark Souls, that place just fucking slaps you in the mouth.
Yeah. And what it's sucks like, is that there's an item down there that really fucking helps you out in the beginning of the game.
There's a lot of items down there that there's
a lot that you have to fight through to get there and just get good.
From the beginning of Dark Souls 1, I'm about to nerd out on Dark Souls 1 for a second.
Go for it, dude.
You leave the Firelink shrine, you go down to the ghost area, you run, and you get the Fire Gatherer's Soul. You have a +1 Estus from level 1.
Yeah.
And if you know how to do that, you're like, I'm a baller.
Like, if you know exactly where it is and how to get there, you can just sprint through everything. I'm going to nerd about Dark Souls as well. That's one of the things I love about Dark Souls is that if you know where an item is and you know the enemy placement, you can just fucking sprint through the entire fucking level and never swing your sword once and still get the item.
You can go to a place and only ever need to fight the boss.
Yeah.
And you can do that at level 1.
Yeah. In fact, a lot of people do.
And I'm hoping we see some sort of...
something like that in Elden Ring?
But Elden Ring already seems like it has, from the trailer we watched, from the movement of that caravan, we already saw that there are going to be in-game built challenges like that, where it's like, maybe you didn't meet these enemies yet, and this is... Your YouTube guy talked about this too, and it's fucking right. Like... Can I say fucking on the podcast?
No, we don't fucking swear on this goddamn motherfucking podcast, okay?
All right, Zach.
So keep that shit bottled up.
Put the bleeps in at 10:52.
No, we can fucking swear.
I know we can swear on this shit.
You've heard other episodes we swear.
I know.
But anyway, what I was gonna say was that something that I would like to see is different factions, like different types of enemies, like because from what we gathered is that you're the Tarnished, basically you're the Ashen One, the undead, chosen undead,
same.
Whatever.
It's all the same.
It's all the same shit, and you're seeking the Elden Ring, but. There's a bunch of other people who are seeking that Elden Ring. So just like in Dark Souls 3, where we have like
possibly
we have like way. the Deacons of the Deep. We have the Abyss Watchers. Like, I want to see factions like that.
What if you run into
and they come into place in the open world areas?
And what if you run into those factions like that, and there are other summoned characters?
Oh, like
without hitting a summon sign.
Like online.
What if they introduce some sort of, because it's open world.
I don't think they're gonna do that.
Why not though?
I
why not? That's so possible.
It is possible, but I doubt they're gonna do it.
There's fight clubs left and right in Dark Souls.
That's true.
And that is a stigma, you know. Everybody in Dark Souls knows there's fight clubs.
But what
if there's an area? What if there's an arena area? We don't even know all the worlds. What if
there is most definitely going to be an arena area.
What if they make a fully open world arena area? Where it is the factions, whoever.
I don't think they're going to do that.
But imagine the possibility.
It would be cool, but I could see that going horribly wrong.
Well, I'm
going
to send an email to Miyazaki right
now.
Backfire how?
Because there's going to be, like, a bunch of players who, like, smash through a game in, like, a weekend and fucking level up their character like crazy.
So it's end game, DLC even.
I could maybe see it being DLC restricted to 4 players.
No, you don't even need 4.
I couldn't see... Okay,
hear me
so,
out. Hear
so
me
hold
out.
Up, hold up. Hear me out first.
Oh, you go first.
I couldn't see From Software making a game where, you know, like... Let's say you have that fighting arena, you know, they would still regulate it to be like, okay, it's not going to be like 1 blue spirit versus 100 red spirits. They're not going to take it to that
level. I'm saying
they'll restrict it to 4.
They'll do it almost as a Call of Duty lobby.
Yeah, but
where
at max 4 players.
I think it could be squadrons.
Nah.
I
don't see that happening.
I think the possibility of how many people are going to be playing this game.
Well, because there's going to be a lot of people that choose one covenant over another. If they
sure.
given that they still include covenants in the game. I'm sure that there's going to be an overwhelming percentage of people that are going to go with like and, the Covenant of Sunlight.
And you know? Well,
so if you're from the Concord Kept, like you're going to be one dude versus fucking three other people. They're not going to do it like that. They're going to make it a random lobby.
Do you think
I don't think they're going to do it by Covenant.
Do you think
I feel like Covenants are still going to have their advantages and disadvantages, but I don't think multiplayer is going to be restricted to just Covenant.
So do you think that maybe with all the, you know, personally making a Fight Club, because mm-hmm. when you do that, that's an agreement between...
Oh, you could probably still like private lobbies.
Hold on. But that's an agreement you can summon to the Fight Club. In all the games, you summon and there's a Fight Club agreement. Do you think that FromSoft will ever embrace a multiplayer aspect where, since this is a free roam open world game, they would have an area that is specifically like, just we'll just call it the Colosseum,
where you go there.
But they didn't do it where you were connecting directly to their lobbies, their servers.
Yeah, no, they did. Dark Souls 3.
Dark Souls 3 did.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was just Fight Clubs.
There were Fight Clubs, but they also had a random matchmaking lobby that you could log in. It was like Undead Battles or something like that.
So do you think they'll perfect that in this?
I hope they make it better. That's what I hope for. Because the one in Dark Souls 3... You'd be sitting in a lobby for like maybe 15 minutes before you got a match.
Because you should just be doing a Fight Club.
Everybody else was just doing Fight Clubs.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. What if we go to this place and it's an automatic Fight Club?
But not level locked. Like they did it in Dark Souls 2 where they kind of had like a fight arena area in one of the first...
Dark Souls 1 and game. Dark Souls 3 both had a fight arena.
They were level locked. Dark Souls 3, you had to have beaten Pontiff Sullivan before you could unlock the fight arena area. And it was like this big courtyard, literally right outside Pontiff Sullivan's boss room. So you had a bonfire right there.
Yeah.
And it was literally just that's where the fight club was. Dark Souls 2... When you got to Majula...
We don't talk about Dark Souls 2.
Talk about Dark Souls 2, but this is the one... I feel like this is the one thing they got right.
You shouldn't be able to dodge roll faster. Your frames should not increase.
I feel you. Yeah. At least Dark Souls 2, their fight club placement wasn't really level locked. Like, you got through the first level, you got to Majula... Like the tutorial level.
Nothing.
And then Majula. There was literally a fight club arena right there.
Nothing in Dark Souls is level locked. Get good, scrub. Nothing.
Okay, I shouldn't say level locked. No. I should say stage locked.
No, it's skill locked.
But, I mean, what I'm saying is that's it.
So don't go to this place in Elden Rings.
Listen to me. What I'm saying is that Dark Souls 3, you had to get to Pontiff Sullivan, defeat him, and then you got the main fight arena.
You could do that at level 1.
You could easily, but if you're not good, then fuck it. It'll take you some time.
So get good, scrub.
So what I'm hoping is that Elden Ring doesn't have that, so that you could just spawn into the first area and choose to fight somebody who's level 300 and still kick their ass.
Fuck that.
That's what I want from Elden Ring. That's what they did in Dark Souls 2.
You could do that. You can get to that spot, level 1. But if you can't, if you're incapable of getting to that spot, level 1...
Then get good.
I'm
so fucking sick of hearing that argument.
It's facts with Dark Souls.
No, it's bullshit. Yeah,
no, it's not. Because it's you can bullshit. Win the game.
You can beat the game at level 1, yeah, sure.
And you can beat anyone else. You can beat
Legend
else.
Of Zelda. Any Legend of Zelda you actually game at level
can.
1.
You actually can't. Like,
dude.
You actually can't. Hold on. You cannot beat... what was the new one they released for the Switch?
Breath of the Wild?
You cannot beat that level 1.
Yeah, you can.
No. No.
Without the Master Sword? Yeah, you can.
No. Not without the Master Sword. Level 1. No items. Just 0% run. you can go to the castle because it's open world game. You can go there and try and beat him.
I've literally seen somebody beat it on 3 hearts.
Yes, 3 hearts. I'm talking level 0.
Okay. Level 0. Obviously, they get items to like.
They get the base items to get off the plateau.
That's not
what
I mean by level 1. I mean like no heart upgrades, no master sword. That's what I'm talking about.
And with Dark Souls.
You can.
No.
Breath of the Wild, you can. I've seen somebody beat the game in like 45 minutes.
Yeah, because they collected items.
Yeah, they collected some items.
Okay, so Dark Souls. Level 0, you can beat the game.
Just fists?
You can. You can, but
Breath
you,
of the Wild, you need...
You cannot
least,
do that.
You at least need
you
weapons.
You cannot, and your sticks will break. You cannot. It's impossible. Literally.
Without a main weapon?
Yes.
Without, yeah, sure.
It's impossible. But Dark
but
Souls...
With Breath of the Wild, I consider level 1 being having 3 hearts.
That's level 1.
Yeah.
You can beat Dark Souls level 0.
But that's not really level 0. It's level 1.
Yeah, level 1 Pyromancer for Dark Souls 1.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
You could beat the whole game, no items, no weapons, fists only. Because you
I
have
guess you
skill.
Can't. Okay, so you can't. It doesn't.
You
really
hear what I'm saying?
To Breath of the Wild.
No,
okay,
no, exactly. So you could have a fight club where there's someone that is that confident that they should be able to do that. If they think they can come into this fight club. And that's the same thing. You're saying there's level restrictions. There's
That was a misspoke. I mean, there's boss restrictions. There's like
there's
bosses.
There's not.
In Dark Souls 3.
There's skill.
In Dark Souls 3, there are. There are certain bosses that you have to beat in order to unlock other areas.
Sure.
So in order.
And
in
Dark, all it
what
takes
I'm saying, all
is
I'm saying,
skill.
All I'm saying is that to unlock the fight arena in Dark Souls 3... You have to beat Pontiff Sullivan,
but
in order to get there.
You don't. There's no level cap.
No.
You could do that at level 0. You could do that with no armor, no nothing, shield and fist.
Sure.
And
I think
and
you
that's
missed, I think you're
no, no, but
you
that's what we're talking
what,
about with the online. It
and
would
I'm
be
hoping,
a place.
I'm hoping that the Elden Ring Fight Club will be in like a central hub area.
It'll be
where
an
you
arena.
Don't, where you don't have to beat a boss to get to. So you can
create
a character.
There. It's like the arena of Rome.
Right.
You can just go there
and fucking sign up for a battle and yeah. That's what I'm hoping from Elden Ring.
Well, that was the miscommunication this whole time.
Yeah. Anyway, on to the next topic. I started watching Food Wars. Recently,
fucking love Food Wars,
right?
But one thing you gotta understand about Food Wars, when the judges judge the food, when the judges judge those foods, put a marker right.
Mark it and right there.
All right. Where the judges judge these foods, it's been sitting under a heat lamp for hours.
Yeah.
Commercial breaks. So that's my one. I love food competition shows. I love to make food. I want to go. Hold on. I want to go on a food competition show, but I know that they are always.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's got the complete wrong idea of what I'm talking about. Food Wars is an anime.
Oh!
Shokugeki no Soma.
Thought we'd talk about HGTV.
Nope. Food Wars. You think I watch? Can you grab the vape? Can you grab the vape?
That's
dude.
We're sponsored tonight, unofficially.
We're sponsored by HGTV. Just kidding.
And Maker's Mark.
And Maker's Mark.
Who makes her mark on our podcast?
They made their mark already. We've been, this entire podcast, we've been drinking Maker's Mark, so.
Not this entire podcast.
At least for me. Anyway, Food Wars, Shokugeki no Soma.
I've heard of that director.
That's not the director, that's the name of the anime. But anyway,
Zach, delete it.
Yeah, Zach, can you just cut all of that and we'll come back on the clap.
Shut the fuck up, you idiot.
Anyway, Shokugeki no Soma is this anime about this kid who grew up working at this Japanese restaurant. And his dad is like this amazing cook, and one of the games they both have is to try to come up with the most disgusting foods to gross them out the most.
Can I interject here and say that I don't know shit about anime.
Well, you might be on the wrong podcast. Anyway, no, it's a great anime because not only is everything that they say in the anime gastronomically correct, and like they actually follow real recipes.
What does gastronomically mean?
Like the way your stomach breaks down food. The way you like.
That wasn't for me. That was just for listeners.
Okay.
I totally know what gastronomy. That's how
your stomach breaks down food. There's a whole science behind it. Also, it has to do with taste, which different flavor profiles fit together. Umami.
Gastronomically is a
sweet, sour.
Yeah, it's. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to break it down for people who might not know.
Yeah, yeah. But
no offense to you, listeners. I'm sure you're a fucking genius.
Wait, what did you just say? What? Did you say something? You didn't want me to know what?
You're really cute.
Alright, this is probably going to be the last episode that he's on. No, I'm going to be on every episode
because I'm fucking the goddamn mixer here.
No, dude. But this anime is great because like it's this dude who's been working at this Japanese restaurant. His dad is like, "Yo, you need to fucking figure out how to cook food for yourself instead of just cooking my recipes."
Like so a high school kid?
Yeah, yeah. So go to this high school specifically for
chefery.
Yeah, people who are going into
chefism,
being a chef, being like running a restaurant, or even just being a chef at a restaurant.
Pretty sure it's called chefism.
I don't think that's what it's called, but you know what? For the sake of argument, we'll run with it.
Chefism.
Chefism. So he's like, "Yo, like, we're going to close down the restaurant. I'm kicking you out. Go to this fucking high school and, you know, figure out how to cook food for yourself instead of just following my recipes, you know?"
Oh, and, so he's like the father that's like, find your own way.
Right, right. And so he goes to this it's like a middle school and high school that all focuses around culinary. It's a
Japanese school system.
Right. And
they don't have the same as middle school.
Well, it's also anime, so like the owner of the high school also has like a monopoly on the restaurant system in all of Japan. So whoever,
of course,
whoever is like the top rated chef in this school is gonna have like the rest of their career set up. Like they don't have to worry about getting a job or anything.
I really hope me pouring the makers into his cup just picked up.
A little bit of ASMR, baby.
So yeah. let's just take a break and take a shot together right now for the audience.
All
right,
let's do it, dude. I'm gonna keep talking about Shokugeki no Soma.
I think in the meanwhile, we should tell them where they could get the cups we're even drinking out of.
Again? A third time? Are we gonna do another branded segment? Oh my god! In case you were wondering where you can get the mug that I am drinking out of right now, you can go to creativecobwebapparel.com, pick yourself up a mug, a shirt, a long sleeve, a no sleeve, a hoodie, whatever. And we're also constantly adding stuff to the store, so
we're gonna have a snapback soon.
Yes, snapback is the next step.
That is the next step because I told them to, because that's the only merch I'll rock.
Yeah, we are definitely going to get a snapback.
Maybe some earrings if we're frisky.
I don't know if we can fit the logo.
I said if we're frisky.
Anyway, back to Shokugeki no Soma.
We're back to Shokugeki no Soma.
We have butchered that.
Shokugeki no Soma.
Shokugeki no Soma.
Shokugeki no Soma. Man, anyway, you're getting too much to drink.
No, dude, it's like it's great because like Every every now and then he'll face up on like a competition with like another student where they both have to make like a meal or something. And this finds
is like an in-school
cook
program.
Yeah. And he finds like these really creative ways to make these amazing meals, and they always win. And
of course.
All of them are 100% recreatable. If you follow the instructions and the ingredients, you can remake every single meal from Food Wars.
So what you're saying...
Actually, Bryce has recreated a couple of those meals.
So what you're saying is our viewers can tweet at us their favorite meal from Food Wars, and we can recreate that on video for them.
We can try. I mean, if you want.
We will.
Yeah, so tweet at the Chatter Boys. That's boys spelled B-O-I-S.
Boys.
Yeah, T-H-E-C-H-A-T-T-E-R-B-O-I-S. And we will, if you tweet us.
If you really want it, we will do it.
Yeah, we'll absolutely do it. I would love to try to do it. Because
I love cooking. Before
I moved in here was when I watched Food Wars, and I mentioned that to Bryce before he invited me to move in here. And he just hit
those dishes for you?
He was like, oh, dude, Food Wars? Like, I've recreated, like, a couple of those dishes.
Way. Which ones?
I don't remember, and neither does Bryce. But, like, I'm just saying, like, we will try for a video. Like,
pick the most cheap-looking ones you can do.
Either the one that he does when he moves into the frat house,
wouldn't that be perfect for me moving in?
Or the one that he does when he's doing the entrance exam because that one's at least a little bit simpler, because I think it's just rice and like
we got rice in the fridge.
I know rice is the main ingredient.
Rice, chicken stock. Rice, chicken stock, fried rice.
Yeah, fried rice, chicken stock, eggs.
I'll make fried rice better than anyone else.
I don't know what else. But yeah, send us a recipe from Food Wars, and we will try to recreate it as best we can.
Shout out to Uncle Roger for teaching me how to make fried rice.
Yeah.
I'm going to make my own shout outs.
Shout out to Tanvir for showing me how to properly make rice, because without him, I would be making rice the same way.
It's the one finger method.
Well, no, the way he does it is he rinses it first and then puts it in.
You never rinse your rice?
Not before you told me.
The amount of starch.
I know.
You failed.
It's
awful.
Oh,
my God. You need to watch Uncle Roger.
I'm never going to be able to cut it at Toitsuku Academy.
Toitsuku.
That's the name of the school that they go to.
Toitsuku.
Toitsuku Academy.
So another show I don't know. Do we have time to talk about anything else?
Where are we at? Yeah, we got time.
A show I recently watched that's kind of on a similar page in an anime. Okay. Devil is a Part-Timer.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I'm very familiar.
So good.
It's really good.
I need to watch more. I got cut off in the middle.
How far have you made it?
I don't know. Season 2.5?
Devil is a Part-Timer only had one season, I believe.
Was the whole season? That was it?
Yeah. That was it. I only got one season.
I'm disheveled.
I'm sorry to break the news to you, my friend.
There's only one. Is there a manga?
Yes, there is a manga.
I'm going to buy that manga.
Buy the manga.
Because that is such... That is the kind of show that I love to watch.
It's
something
great.
That is just like... It's funny, every day. You're in the house.
It's got a little bit of everything that you ask for. From an anime, you got your action, you got your comedy, you got your love interest, you got your tsundere. It's got everything.
I forgot about the action, even. I loved the part where he was cooking chicken nuggets and it was anime. That's what anime sounds.
That was a hilarious anime, but I think it's been confirmed for a second season, but it hasn't come out yet. At least because it's a Netflix original, so it might
really?
Take them a minute to
Netflix makes you wait. They're like, yeah, you're gonna wait.
On that same topic, have you seen, or a similar topic, I guess, for Netflix originals? Have you seen the latest season of Castlevania, or have you seen Castlevania at all?
No, and hold on before you yell at me. I'm waiting for it to finish.
Well, right now would be a pretty good place to start.
I'm waiting.
The way season four, which is the latest season that just came out.
Without spoilers.
The way that ended, it seemed like they were trying to wrap up the show.
I heard season six was the end.
Okay, so they might come out with two more seasons.
I heard from the grapevine, I'm not a reliable source at all, but I think I've heard that season six is the end.
So they're going to do two more seasons? Because there's only four out
right now. Four, five, six. Yeah, they're working on five right now.
Okay.
And there's rumored to
be one. It's funny because the way that they ended, without spoiling anything, the way that they ended season four, it was like they were wrapping everything up nice and neat, and you know that was gonna be the end of it.
Maybe
it's
gonna be like five.
You write your own ending, you know.
Maybe five will be the end.
Maybe, who knows? But I mean, if we want to talk about some, especially because this podcast seems to just be mainly focused around anime.
Apparently,
anime and video games, even though it's called Mindless Chatter.
We'll talk about it. You know what? Hold on. Let's mindlessly chatter for a minute. Let's talk about something else.
Okay.
Let's pick another subject. The gas prices lately. You want to talk about that? No, that's too political.
Oh, they're expensive as fuck.
Yeah, fuck that. I saw somebody that showed me a picture. $5.43. All right, next topic.
Headphones are pretty sweet. I've got this pair of Tascam.
No.
Sponsor us, Tascam. Mindless Chatter sponsor project with Tascam will sell your shit for you, bro.
Tascam, if you don't send me a free pair of headphones, I will literally be upset.
Way to fall back on that on that threat. No, but anyway, the way they wrapped up season four, in my opinion, was just it was like they were ending the season, not only ending the season, but like wrapping up the series as well, because it seemed like all the characters found their place and like, you know, it was great. But I'm hoping for another season because god damn it, can we just talk about the animation in Castlevania? Have you ever seen any
scenes? I've seen clips.
Dude, the animation in...
I just watched a dude hold a broadsword and a dagger in one hand. And I was like, I am simping for this character, whoever he is.
Dude, the whip animations. Plus the fact that they make so many callbacks to the actual video game.
They do a good job.
Yeah.
That's my problem with watching video game...
adaptations?
Yeah,
because they always botch it. Like, I mean, fucking Doom is the best example of that.
No, the best example is, excuse me, princess. You never saw the Zelda anime?
No.
Oh my god, bless your soul that you never saw that. I'm not even going to tell you to look it up. It's horrible.
I'm going to look it up because it's horrible.
No! No! So you watch the Game Grumps, right?
Yeah.
You know the CDI Zeldas they did?
Yeah.
That is the equivalent of the Zelda anime. It is CDI Zelda put into a show. It is bad. It is... I love Zelda. I mean... Oh, I thought that was Triforce tattooed on my wrist.
I forgot what was tattooed on your wrist.
It happens.
It happens.
That was the one that's supposed to be on this wrist.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wanna get the Triforce on my wrist at some point.
Which one? This one?
Nah, it's probably gonna be like
on my
other calf. Because I got that on my other calf.
Who's the dude who's usually here?
Stewie?
Stewie dude.
I think he's got Triforce tattooed on him somewhere.
Get Stewie to do my tattoos.
Definitely get Stewie to do your tattoos. And anybody that's in the
Bay Area,
San Francisco Bay Area, go to Silver Needle in Concord to get your work done. Ask for Stewie Sticks. That guy has done almost all of my work and he's fantastic.
We didn't even get paid for the shout out.
No. We don't get paid for any shout outs.
Well, we might.
We don't even get paid.
We really don't.
I hope you know. This is all for you.
I'm
so feel guilty about that, and maybe buy a hoodie or a sweatshirt.
Dougie over here just pressured me to get on the mic. He was like, "We gotta record," and I was like, "Okay." We saw that Elden Ring trailer. Let's talk about that, maybe.
Wait, did you call me Dougie?
Is that not you?
No, I'm Matthias.
I don't know your name on here.
All right, I think this is probably where we're gonna end this episode because. Zach is getting a little too drunk, I guess.
When you're drinking Maker's Mark, you gotta be careful that you drink at least 6 shots and then pace yourself at that point.
And then just upend the bottle and guzzle it all down your throat.
I agree with that, but only if you're depressed.
And not when the microphones are recording.
No. You definitely should... Shut the fuck up when the microphones are recording. That's what I've learned. I don't even know why he let me on this podcast tonight. I mean...
Yeah, dude, I don't even know this guy. I don't even know how he got in. Actually he just wandered in, I needed to record an episode, so I was like, fuck it, yo, you.
We needed an episode, and I brought a 40 of Makers. A gallon and a half?
Yeah.
And some pizza. And that's how you get on this podcast.
Literally all it takes, people.
Email this man.
If you can just buy a mug for $14.95, you can be on the podcast.
You know what? If you buy a mug, let me pull up my Twitter.
Are you going to?
I'm going to drop my Twitter.
All right.
I'm going to do it. You fill in the space while I look.
You already got my Twitter, Matthias McGwee. So if you buy a mug and drop a selfie of you in the replies.
I don't even need a selfie of you. I need a selfie of the mug.
We'll have you on the podcast because that's actually something else that I wanted to talk about was the fact that like we have all these people that are constantly listening to the podcast. I want to interact with you. I want to know what you look like. I want to know what you're into. I want to know why you're into our podcast. So if you buy any merch, tag either...
Well, go first with the Mindless Chatter tag.
Either at the Mindless Chatter Boys or at the Chatter Boys or Othias McGwee or at ZP...
Wheezy. ZP Wheezy.
And that's with a capital W and a capital Z.
I'm sure you'll find me. I'm not active.
Somebody will. Hey. I'm not active at all either.
If like somebody finds me.
I literally only retweet anything that I see from the Chatter Boys or Stewie.
I retweet Super Mega.
Okay. So you heard here first, folks. He's a Super Mega fan. So
Super Mega fan.
Maybe don't. Retweet, maybe just avoid him as much as you can. Anyway, it's been this has been a gas.
Thomas,
we are about at the end of the episode. So
what do you mean about? You got some more to fill? You want to spit some freestyle?
No.
Let's drop a little beat. Let's drop a little beat. Hey. Hey, what's your name on the podcast?
Othias.
Keep it growing. Yeah. Othias, let me come on to his podcast. Let me get a little bit of voice. What I got now? Fuck. I'm fucking up on the mic. I ain't got nothing to spit when he's coming here with a spike of a beat. He's spitting too much heat. I can't follow the beat when he's going so fast. He's a thias out here smoking out of glass, hitting dabs, making music like he's a bad one. No, I'm gonna just delete all this. Zach, delete all this.
All right, so we're not going to do a freestyle anyway. We're just going to end the episode right about here.
You heard the freestyle that I tried to do. I'm leaving that in, Zach. Shut the fuck up.
All right. Anyway, once again, you can follow us on Twitter at the Chatter Boys. That's boys spelled B-O-I-S. You can follow me personally on Twitter at Othias McGwee. I don't remember Stewie's handle off the top of my
head. Mine is at ZPWeezy, capital Z and W, W-E-Z-E-E.
Yay, follow him, and also follow Stewie at Creative Cobweb to see his, you can follow him both on Twitter and on Instagram to see his tattoo work. His Instagram is fucking fire.
Yeah, it, I mean, honestly, follow cool. his Instagram.
Yeah, follow Fuck his Instagram his Twitter. At Creative Cobweb.
But I mean, follow his Twitter too, but yeah, his yeah. Instagram is where you see his
follow both,
work.
But Creative Cobweb, his Instagram is way better. Also, go to our merch store, www.creativecobwebapparel.com, and pick up some of the new, we got some new Mindless Chatter merch. We got the mug. And also, fucking give some love to Zach here.
Bro, we got a new song coming.
That's true.
Sweatshirts.
Sweatshirts.
Y'all need to check out sweatshirts. I know my boy's
that's
not.
Gonna be, it's going to be me, Bastra, look, and look. Our roommate, Dougie.
He's not bragging about this, but we got your new engineer, me. I'm working on shit with them. We're going to get it going. Yeah. You're about to hear music from your boys.
Yep.
It's about to be more than noise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't rap, but they do.
It's going to be dope. So go check those out once again, especially the merch store. If you like what you heard in the podcast, you want to support it. What we got right now is the merch store. So that's once again, it's creativecobwebapparel.com. Go grab yourself some nice merch and help support the podcast. Anyway,
if any fine ladies are out there that want to buy me a sweatshirt, you know, hit me up on Twitter.
Also, there was one more thing that I wanted to talk about, and why the fuck